Da-da. Da-da. It's a Wednesday morning. Sorry, it's my fault. You're hanging out in the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
41 degrees right now. Going to get up close to 60.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the reason we'll be close to 60 is because the wind's coming.
Oh, yeah.
High wind warning starting at 1 o'clock this afternoon goes till 1 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All right.
Winds of 50 to 60 miles an hour.
Wait, 60 miles an hour?
60 miles an hour.
No, 60?
It said, didn't it say 50 to 60 miles an hour?
God damn.
I don't know. That seems intense. Yeah.
Can we Google what the wind? I thought it
that's
said,
a hurricane.
I thought it said 50 city mile an hour.
Sucks if your garbage day is tomorrow.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. On top of the 50 city mile an hour.
Yeah.
Rain starting at 3, and that's just going to keep going until.
Well, that's
going
to be sideways.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got
wind 22 miles an hour.
No, that's not, a little less.
Not
than
right now.
600.
I thought it said 50 to 60 miles.
Well, it is supposed to get bad later.
Oh my God!
It says like around 4 p.m. 20 to 22.
I thought
it's only 8 right now.
I thought it said 50.
Well, they did show up there on 13 40 to 50, but I don't know when.
Okay, what? I don't know. How much of a difference is 40 to 50 than 50 to 60?
Not that. Well,
okay, so why you fight me then?
Well, because now you're getting into hurricane weather.
Why? No, hurricane is not city mile an hour.
I think 70 is hurricane.
Really? Because it's weird. It's weird because you said we don't get winds like that around here.
We don't. We don't, unless you're talking.
20 to 30, it says.
Okay, fine, whatever. It's good.
Maybe it changed.
Maybe a gust to 60.
There will be wind of some speed at
in your face
some point today.
It says with winds rain. Could occasionally gust over 40 miles an hour.
Okay, now you're getting up there. You got up there.
Did it say city mile an hour?
No.
That's a tropical storm, though.
Okay, for God's sake. It's going to be windy.
Oh, yeah.
Watch your cans
of
garbage and ass.
Yes.
Both. Let's start today's show with a nightmare scenario for that are Key Bank members.
Key Bank?
Do you bank with Key Bank?
I do not.
Kimmy, do you bank with Key Bank?
I do.
Okay, so if you bank with Key Bank, a story on News 8 says they have double charged some debit card transactions from earlier this week, from Monday.
On your debit card?
Yes, you got it. So if you bought something, you were banged twice on some accounts here in the greater Rochester area. So it's being described as an egregious bank error. And some customers say this has lasted more than 48 hours with no resolution in sight. KeyBank says there has been a technical issue. They are resolving the technical issue. And they apologize for any inconvenience, and everything will get fixed. Don't worry about it. But that's not helping out some people whose banks are currently, or bank accounts right now, are in the negative.
Right.
Because
a debit comes right at your ass.
Yes.
Yes.
60, and it comes out at 60 mile an hour.
Oh, yeah, 60 mile an hour. Yes.
So, Kimmy, you saw this story.
Yeah.
And your first thought was?
My first thought was if this is a shared account between you and your significant other, somebody's getting in trouble. Because if you.
Trouble.
You're in trouble.
Because you probably don't assume it's a bank error right away. You're just seeing the charge on there.
But it's a double whack, right?
Yeah.
But then again, it may not say exactly what it is.
Right.
It
could
be a store double.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So there may be some. The blame game may be being played in your relationship until you figure out what actually happened.
Okay. I don't disagree with you.
Because you're probably getting. A lot of people get the alerts right to their phone, right? When something is charged.
Yeah, I hate that because my wife has it.
Well, yeah, it just says, like, hey, this has showed up in your
account.
And
then especially if you're now in the negative for whatever reason.
It really cramps my style.
You're in trouble.
It makes me look like a bitch. No, like, can I share a story with you?
Go ahead.
So we have two cards. You know, my wife is the queen of points, and she makes me use specific cards for specific things.
Mm.
Like if you're buying groceries, do this.
Okay.
If you are buying food at a restaurant, use this. And she has text alerts for every time the card gets used, right? So I will go get my lunch, use the wrong card by accident, and within 20 seconds get a text saying, please use this card for this thing.
Because now you're losing points.
Yeah, but like,
'cause then you get like triple points.
Sure,
right?
But I'm a grown-up, so let's not do that like right away. And I'm sorry, I give me a cheat sheet to keep in my wallet to know which card.
Yeah, that's a lot of paperwork just to get a seller.
Thank you. And then it keeps changing. Like then like there'll be a promotion with one card and it'll be like, oh, now
it's good.
So I'm now using old information and like you didn't share this with me. Do your spouses take your word for your spending habits? Do you know what I mean by that?
Like how much they spent?
Well, okay, like if something were to come out of the account, are they going to question you about it?
Well, probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a number where the question gets asked?
I would say over 100.
So anything under 100 bucks you can spend and nobody...
I mean, I've never really had an issue with it, but anything over 100, probably.
Okay.
Depends on where it is, because if it's like... over 100 at Wegmans, nobody's saying anything.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's your grocery bill.
But if it's like over 100 mystery
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, mystery company. Yeah, maybe then it would be a little suspicious.
Well, here's the thing. Anyone else over 100 at Wegmans, I agree with you. Like, there's no question.
Yeah.
You, though.
What?
You, over 100 at Wegmans, that could be groceries. That could be a weird new fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be one pineapple.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. Based on your history of buying things at Wegmans that are super high-end,
yeah.
I would be asking you those questions.
So, I went grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is like looking at the thing. She goes, "What's black garlic?"
What is black garlic?
I don't know. I wanted to try it. So they had a package of it. I go, "Man, that looks pretty cool." So they had it out on display, all the garlics, you know? And I go, "I'm going to try it, man."
You didn't have a plan for it.
No, I chopped it up and put it in stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I go, try it out. So I went and bought black garlic. Okay. And it was $10 a bulb.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what she said. But I wanted to try it.
Wait, wasn't black garlic when Dolomite took that trip in a movie to Italy?
Yeah. It was a good show. Very funny. But yeah, she questioned black garlic.
Yeah, I would question black garlic.
That makes you a racist.
No, wait.
I accept all the garlics. The whites, the browns, the blacks, all of them.
Does it taste any different?
No.
So you
do you feel stupid?
$10 a bulb.
Okay, how much? Garlic. How much is normal garlic?
Like
not that much.
$1.
Yeah. You spend 10 times the amount on black garlic.
Well, 10 times, but it's only $10.
Black garlic.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those exploitation movies in the 70s. Tonight, black garlic takes on the man. Freeze, turkey. Oh, no, it's black garlic.
And he's put the garlic on the turkey.
I will never understand why you do that to yourself. Because if you want to try these new things, the worst case scenario is that it's delicious and that you want to keep buying it.
I know.
I'd rather just not know that $10 garlic is delicious.
That's why they put
delicious.
It right up front. Wegmans knows what they're doing, man, with chumps like me.
But it's just you. It's only
it's just
you.
Me.
It's only you that bought. I don't know anybody else that has bought a pink pineapple. Mm-mm. I don't know anyone else that has tried black garlic.
Mm.
Black garlic!
Freeze, turkey! Try it on turkey.
WCMF 252-9263. We're having this black garlic discussion because of this key bank issue that started on Monday. They were double banging people for debit card transactions. Some of the folks that got hit with this, their accounts have gone into the negative, and it hasn't been fixed yet. Key bank says they're working to fix it, but that doesn't help you when you got to buy stuff.
Yeah,
and your account is currently
you're upside
overdrawn.
Down or you're underwater.
Exactly. I wonder when it comes to gender versus question.
Mm.
Do women still? Because you know, traditionally, women were the ones that balance a checkbook, right?
Yeah.
Is that still the case in the majority of relationships, you think?
It seems to be. The people that I know, me, yeah.
Same with me. Kimmy, are you the one responsible for your family's finances?
I guess probably more so than my husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? Why did that happen that way?
I don't know. I do not know. I think it kind of comes down to like who was the better money manager at first.
Are all men bad with money?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
But it's weird, though, because I picked up those habits from my dad.
Okay.
Your dad
and
was really good with
he was such,
bank.
Like, a money manager to the point. He still saves all of his receipts and crap, you know?
Receipts and crap.
Receipts
and
crap.
Do not open the wrong
like,
envelope.
He checks his bank statements, credit card statements, like, by the hour.
Okay.
Oh,
like,
really?
That's how obsessed he is with it.
No, like, I have never and will never question anything my wife buys.
No, I don't either.
I don't have the balls. Cause
But I lived alone, I never questioned myself.
Yeah, no, I'm
because I can remember, like look at, holy Christ, man.
Like, there was never
that was a week of fun? Damn, black garlic.
Bro, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you're in it, you're just having a good
time.
Man,
I could have spent more than $20.
No, the worst is, I don't know about you, I'm very friendly when it comes to buying drinks. After I've had a couple of drinks, right? So, like, when I was a kid, like, if I got my paycheck, and we're going to talk more about this, actually, exact thing later in the show. If I got paid on a Friday, and I had, you know, $200 bucks cash in my pocket.
You were rich.
Exactly. And I'd come home after wake up the next morning, count out the cash in my $40 left?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All of it's gone.
What have I done?
And you have nothing to show for it.
What have I done?
And don't forget, for a while, I was writing it off a home equity line of credit, which is basically a second mortgage.
Yes.
I was using it as a second checkbook because I go, look at this, man. I got like two checkbooks. What could go wrong here?
Rich writes us on Instagram, Duffy at WCMF, easiest way to get us. He says, my wife handles all the finances and bill paying. Whenever I purchase something, she always asks if I bought something for that specific amount. Knowing she will ask me, I always take a screenshot of my purchase so she can see it. It kind of makes me feel like a child having to justify the things that I want. Amen, buddy. I know what you mean.
You got to take a screenshot? Oh, man.
Does it also come down to if you've been in a relationship long enough where somebody gets... like somebody's information gets stolen or something. You know what I mean? Like where somebody gets hacked or somebody overspends, like that automatically now the other person is in charge.
It's never gotten to that point in my relationship. Okay. I was never given the responsibility of money ever, which is a good move.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to fight for that.
Me neither.
I know where my bread is buttered.
Yeah, I don't want to be yelled at.
Yeah, no, and I'm going to screw it up because I have the history of screwing everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just tell me where to go and what to do, except with the cards. Now I feel stupid. And like, here's the thing. I'm fortunate. I can't speak for you.
Right.
I don't really spend. I have my bills tickets.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing I spend money on.
No, you buy a ton of jerseys,
well, but always
memorabilia,
on sale. Always on sale.
Sneakers.
Always on sale. Sneakers on sale.
I mean, yeah, you do spend.
On sale, super on sale.
That's like a big chunk, but you do spend on other things.
No, I'm just
for yourself.
I'm just saying, yeah, but I also.
I mean, you did just go to the Blue Jays game.
Okay, that was like a once in a lifetime thing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, when's the last time I was like, I did something like that? No, when's the last time I did something like that? Wait, name it. You can't. Can a man not have freedom once in a while?
No.
Can a man not take off to another country to spend an ungodly amount on a single baseball ticket?
On a baseball that we have here.
We have baseball at home. Is that the argument, Mom?
Yes.
No. If my wife was going to get mad about anything, it's the hat and all of the beers. You want to get mad about that?
All the extras.
Get mad about that? Well, no, because I had said my wife and the credit card text alerts. She knew exactly how many times I had gone to the beer stand while I was.
That's like North Korea.
It really is. And she confronted me about it to bust my balls. Like, she wasn't mad, but she's like, how many beers did you have last night? I'm like, I don't know, like 3-7 text alerts from the beer stand inside Rogers Center. Whatever. Shut up. No, I don't know where, our wives get off doing this. Because I would be too afraid to confront my spouse.
Oh, yeah, I can't. No.
You know what I'm saying?
Because then you're being mean.
Yeah.
You're being,
You don't understand. Yeah, you don't understand why I need
we
this.
Don't get that script. Our script is over here.
So, I guess that's why it's really important to have one credit card that your spouse can't see.
Yeah, but that's impossible.
Yeah, but you still have to pay off. You know what I mean? Like, they'll still see
it's money
at some
going,
point how much is coming out.
Understood. But, all right, see, I got a golden situation here. And my wife's listening, so I'm blowing it up right now. I have my Bills season ticket.
Yeah.
So I opened up a Bills credit card.
Okay.
So I get double points.
Look at that.
Or triple points for all money I spend. So if I go to the stadium, I spend money, I use my Bills card. Points.
Yeah.
And my ultimate goal is to buy an autographed Josh Allen jersey in their team store for free.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dare to dream.
Ooh. Yeah. I've had Bill's
Josh Allen points.
I've had Bill's season tickets for 15 years, and we're almost there. But she doesn't get the
point
statement for that.
Oh.
So she doesn't know. So anytime it comes out, I go, yeah, tickets. Bill's tickets, what can I do?
I still think of back in the day when everything was cash, right?
Yeah.
That I knew married guys that had side money that their wives did not know about. There had to be a secret economy that never was calculated. In the 70s and 80s, of guys that were married that had side stash for all the stuff they wanted to do, they just went undetected.
So I'm not going to lie to you. There was a point early in my marriage where I figured out if I were to take $50 a week in cash and put it in a box somewhere in my closet, by the end of the year.
You have some bank.
Yeah, that's a serious amount of money.
Yeah.
And, you wouldn't notice $50 a
week. And that's side bank.
Yeah, exactly. But I got so scared that my wife would stumble upon it and think I was doing something legitimately nefarious, I didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
I got scared. But I wish I would have.
Are there some costs you can kind of sneak in there, though, because your significant other has no idea how much it's supposed to cost?
For example?
Like your Bills season tickets. I'm sure if you could put any number on it, really, and your wife would be like, yeah, that sounds about right. Like, I wouldn't know how much those are supposed to cost. Like, if I went out and spent $100 at a store in cash and told my husband I had to buy like tampons or something. He would have no idea how much
no guy's touching
to
a tampon.
That's what I mean, though. Like, there are some things I could just be like, yeah, that's how much it costs, and he would have no idea.
Well, that's why I'm lucky with this card. Yeah, my wife doesn't know exactly how much a month my Bills tickets cost. But you're right. Like, there, other than the Bills tickets I have, there's no other guy equivalent of tampons or, you know, whatever girly stuff you need, because I know nothing about that.
Yeah, if you tell me every tampon is $35, I'd go, okay. it's doing its job, man.
We'll wrap it up with Connor.
Connor.
He writes us on Instagram, Duffy at WCMF. Wife has me report back to her weekly on debit purchases.
Weekly?
She puts them in a spreadsheet. I'd be lying if I didn't skip over a transaction or two.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, man.
You had to sit down to a spreadsheet
meeting? That's a lot of work.
I think it's way more common than you think, especially right now. Money's tight, bud. Money's tight.
All right.
Got to account for every cent.
That's brutal, man.
Connor's throwing off the balance, bro. It's like Enron over here.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
If you're thinking about moving to this state,
think
again, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
They don't want you.
Okay.
And if you go, it's going to cost you more money.
Oh, no.
Even though it won't, because this doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
And even if it did, it would be against the U.S. Constitution.
Oh.
But what's weird is this isn't even a place we as New Yorkers tend to want to go.
This particular state.
Well, yeah, whether it's state-wise or the cities within this state, unless there is something changing that we are unaware of.
All right, well, give it to me.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So election day yesterday, stuff all over the country going on, local elections here, if you've been watching. Tommy and I, we always love off-year elections.
Yes.
Because we sit in here and we watch the returns come in the morning. And the amount of people that vote.
Yeah, sometimes it's hysterical.
Oh, like the total numbers?
Yeah.
So in West Bloomfield.
Yeah. Which I didn't know that was a separate thing. West Bloomfield had its own, like, voting.
Well, yeah.
I just thought you got absorbed into the bigger machinery of Bloomfield.
You're gonna let
the big political machinery.
You're going to let East Bloomfield decide all of your.
All right.
So, Kimmy, the town supervisor for West Bloomfield,
That
election had 75 people total vote.
Wow.
Vote. One guy only got 18 votes.
Which means they don't like you. Because that's your family.
Yeah, seriously. I wonder what the percentage, like what 75 people is in comparison to the amount of people that could have voted.
The eligible voters in
West Bloomfield. Yeah. It's a good question. We'll never know, Kim.
Yeah.
I guess not.
But there's a reason I bring this up. Even people that were not living where some elections were going were watching these elections, specifically what was going on in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday, the governor of Texas, in an effort, I guess, to try and help what he wanted in the election in New York City, tweeted. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Governor Greg Abbott tweets, quote, "After the polls close tomorrow night, I will impose a 100% tariff on anyone moving to Texas from New York City."
So if I want to move just New York City from the five boroughs, he puts it, what's the tariff?
All right, so a couple of things here.
That's not a thing.
All right, yeah. So first of all, by definition, you can't impose a tariff on a person.
Yeah.
All right. A tariff, as we've all learned the last few months, is a tax imposed by a government on an imported or exported
goods. Yeah, it's like you're exchanging goods.
Yeah. So you can't tariff me unless I'm a slave, and that's a whole other ball of wax, Texas.
Right.
Issue two, even if you could tariff a person, which you can't, but even if you could, the U.S. Constitution prohibits states from imposing fees, duties, and tariffs on other parts of the United States.
Okay, so that just can't happen.
Yeah, like we can't impose tariffs on avocados from California because we're all American.
Yeah.
But the biggest fly in the ointment for Texas here, let's say you could tariff a person.
Right.
And let's say it was constitutional. This would keep people from moving to your state.
Yes.
Why would you want that?
People with money.
Yeah.
To have the ability to move to your state.
And they want to be there.
Right.
Right? Right? Like, they're leaving where they're from. That's a big ask to go all the way across the country.
Yeah.
You say it.
But Texas don't want you.
Then we don't want you now.
Yankee.
Even though you would be unhappy with what happened where you're from.
Yes.
Unless this was like a last minute ditch. You got 12 hours to move to Texas.
Yeah.
Buy show all your stuff right now.
Man.
A little bit crazy. So the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, was asked by several different outlets what he meant by tariffing whoever was going
to
move to Texas.
Because I'm guessing it's a surcharge to move to your state. Like the state's going to say, oh, you moved here? Here's your bill.
But again, that would be against the law.
Yeah.
But he didn't say that. In fact, he hasn't said anything.
Oh.
No comment.
Kind of wheeled himself back from that one?
Yeah, I guess so, yes. Okay, but here's the thing. Yeah. The funniest part of the whole discussion. How many people do you know that have moved from New York State to Texas?
None.
Okay.
I know one kid that moved from Texas to get a job here.
Okay.
I know a handful of people that have moved to Austin.
Okay, that is Texas.
Yes.
But that's not really Texas. Austin is kind of like not Texas.
Yeah. I agree with you, but it is technically Texas.
It is.
Yes.
It is
technically.
Yeah. Kind of.
I would say under 10 people.
Okay.
I don't know anybody.
That's still pretty significant.
It is. I mean, like, there have been a couple people throughout the years that have moved there.
I don't know anybody that's retired there. I know people, like, the big states, obviously, it's Florida.
Okay.
Then the next big one was becoming Charleston.
The Carolinas.
And, like, the Carolinas are big. But I don't know anybody that's going, hey, man, I'm retiring to Galveston because I really like the smell of oil.
So let's break this down.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because for a very long time, there was worry that the entire state of New York was eventually going to leave to go live in other states.
Yeah.
And over the last couple of years, for whatever reason, that has started to change, right? But there are still places that folks who leave New York like to go. You brought up Florida.
South Florida.
Yep, the Carolinas. California is another big one all of a sudden. So there was a stat a little while ago we saw that said 30,000 people from New York have moved to Texas in recent years.
Okay.
But keep in mind, this tariff that they wanted to charge would have only applied to people from New York City.
Right.
So, like, how many people annually from New York City make the move to
Texas? Seems like a very, very different way of life if you're used to New York City.
Unless you're moving to Austin.
I guess. But even still.
I'm just saying.
I
mean, way slower.
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah. I mean, that Salsa commercial, Tommy, from a few years ago, let us know how they feel about us.
What are you talking about? New York City.
New York City! If you had to leave New York State right now.
Mm.
252-WCMF. Not that you would want to. There's just a mandate. We got to leave.
Yeah.
Something happened. You know, terrible thing. We all have to leave New York State. Where are you going? 252-WCMF. Kimmy?
Hmm.
Where are you going?
Never thought about this.
That's why I'm asking.
I would probably go somewhere where I could get a little beach time in. Maybe a coast of some sort.
Okay, well, can we narrow it down?
Yeah.
Take your time. We're just doing a radio show.
Trying to think of, I don't know what I can afford.
She's already living the Texas life. Yeah. Let me try one of them sweet tea.
I guess I don't know what I could afford. Like, I don't know what states are more affordable than others.
Okay, so California is probably on
right,
par
that's
with
out.
New York.
Right? There's no way.
That's probably the most expensive.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So especially if you want to be on the beach.
So Florida, Florida also now very expensive.
Yeah. Very expensive.
All right, so you're out
maybe
on
one of the Carolinas I could afford.
But that seems
know.
To be getting super expensive,
yeah.
too. Everywhere where everyone is going has gotten expensive.
Right.
Yeah. There's a couple of sneaky pockets that people don't really know about.
Sneaky Pockets, one of my favorite comics to open.
Man, did you hear what happened to him?
What happened?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. The tariffs got him. It was down in Texas.
You know, I said coast, but I take it back. I could absolutely live in a desert.
Really?
Oh, Palm Springs.
Yes. Palm Springs. That might be my destination.
But that's California.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
but
still
it's
relatively
sweatier,
affordable.
Are we
compared
cactus-y.
To other parts of California?
Okay, I thought Palm Springs was high end.
It is.
So it is, but so
Bob Hope, buddy.
But there's Frank a Sinatra. Lot of but there's a lot of room to build there.
Sonny Bono.
So. I would definitely live in Palm Springs. I would move to Arizona, maybe.
Okay.
I'd try Arizona out.
All right. Tommy?
I'd live in a desert.
Tommy, where are you going?
So, my number one would have to be Naples, Florida.
Okay.
Two would be San Diego.
San Diego. Well, I hear it never rains in Southern California.
It does not. Listen to that song. But here's my sneaky third choice. It's not on a lot of people's radar.
Okay.
the coast of South Georgia, like Jekyll Island in that area, is beautiful. And it's not overdeveloped.
You sound like the oldest white guy I've ever heard. I'm going down to Jekyll Island.
Bro, it's paradise down there, and it's not full of a lot of jerks.
So you'd be the first one.
I might be first jerk in. I'm telling you, it's
first jerk in.
It's sneaky. It's below Savannah. It's okay. Not Jacksonville. Just over the Florida-Georgia line, and it's awesome.
Did you take a vacation there or something?
So I did comedy there.
Ah.
And the one thing I checked out one time, so they used to charge you to go onto the island.
Okay.
They charge you a dollar.
Gotcha.
So I had a goddamn dollar to do my crappy set on Jekyll Island. That's now gone up to $10.
Oh, you can't afford $10.
It's like going over the George Washington Bridge to nothing. But it is nice.
All right. So you're going to Jekyll Island in Georgia.
Going to Jekyll.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we started this conversation. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, tweeted yesterday, after the polls close tomorrow night, 2 days ago, I'm sorry, I will impose a 100% tariff on anyone moving to Texas from New York City. And again, that's a problem.
We don't want you.
One, you can't tariff a person. Two, you can't tariff anything in the United States. That's unconstitutional. Mm. Three, you're keeping people who would want to come live where you are for moving.
Yeah, it is counterproductive.
All of these things not...
Because there are some people in New York you may want in Texas.
Like, how about,
and you're also, like, blocking them.
Thank you. And, like, they would want to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, and they give you some of them dollars.
Some of them upstate dollars, yeah. Son. Up north dollars. But we're asking where you would want to be. So Matthew writes us on Instagram.
Hey, where's he going?
He says he's going to Tennessee. Parents are there. Low taxes. Nice weather. Slow living.
No beach.
No beaches. Mm-hmm. So they got to have a beach.
Where?
I don't know. There's got to be a lake, right?
Yeah, it's like a lake. By the way, do not go in southern fresh water.
Yeah.
Ever. Go swim in there.
Why?
Because there's things in there that will kill you.
Okay.
Don't.
Try me.
Okay. Dumb question. Yeah. Do they have like gators and
they probably
Tennessee?
Have rattlesnakes, moccasins.
Oh, okay. All right, fair.
Stuff
snakes,
like that.
Probably right.
And then if you go a little bit further south into the Carolinas, then you get into like alligators and you know, stuff like that.
Okay. 252-WCMF. Dom writes us, says Tom, who's Tommy kidding? His next move is to his wife's shed. Jekyll Shed.
Oh, Jekyll Shed?
Costs a dollar to get in there. 252-WCMF. We were asking, they shut down the state of New York. Everyone's got to go. You got to go. Where are you going? Steve, where are you going, buddy?
Yes. I'm going to go down to probably North Carolina, South Carolina. I've always liked the Marion, South Carolina area.
Why?
Well, if I move to Florida, my ass is going to sweat.
Okay.
And I'll be moving back up to New York in the summertime.
Okay.
Like everybody else does. If I'm in New York and I don't like the cold, I move down to Florida. So it's a nice balanced area down there.
Okay, I don't hate that logic. Right. I don't hate that logic.
But Carolina gets hot in the summertime, man.
Well, you got the lakes there? You got fishing there?
Stay out of them lakes, man. Stay out of the goddamn lakes.
So nobody wants the Midwest. Steve, thanks for the call,
buddy. No, man. I mean, I just
don't know enough about it. I've never spent a lot of time in the Midwest.
The people of the Midwest are just super nice.
Yeah.
But the place sucks.
I could live in Cleveland, I think. I like Cleveland.
Cleveland's
really like,
here.
I know. I don't
but
think
that's like moving to here.
But that's why if I had to go, I want to go to a place that I like know.
But I don't. Yeah. I stay Midwest. I'm starting to talk like again. Indianapolis.
Yeah, I don't want that.
St. Louis.
The pizza sucks.
Wichita.
No, I don't want that.
You know, it's just not good. Like... Tulsa.
Bro, I'm sure if you move... Okay, I've been to Tulsa. I didn't hate Tulsa.
The people are great, but I couldn't live there.
But how do you know? You never gave it a shot.
There's no Italian food.
Kansas City's got Italian food.
They do, but it's like Kansas City Italian food.
Bro, big mob presence back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, even the ravioli's got like barbecue sauce.
No, I mean...
The Midwest is a great... Like, Chicago's a fun town.
That's not really the Midwest.
No, it's a big city. Yeah. You know, it's different. Yeah. But, like, we've been out to, like, the Quad Cities in Des Moines.
Okay, no, I didn't hate the Quad Cities. I did not hate the Quad Cities.
I could see you being a Midwest person.
Mate, what does that mean?
Oh, yeah, you got Midwest all over
you. The hell does that mean?
You know.
You built for the Midwest.
What does that mean, built for the Midwest?
Oh, yeah, you Midwest. You Quad City all the way. You'd be known as the Quad Wad.
All right, for those who may, we're talking a lot inside baseball here. For those who may not know what the Quad Cities are.
So basically, it's four cities that sit on the Mississippi that straddle Illinois and Iowa.
Yep.
And it's like Moline. Davenport. It's like Four City, Rockville, Rock Island.
Rock Island.
So, yeah. Hey, who doesn't want to live on Rock Island on the Mississippi?
But the whole place is like Henrietta.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's like weird.
No, I don't disagree, but
they're like four small cities that think they're like one person.
Or a city.
Yeah. And it's got like that Davenport area. Like the first time I was in Iowa, I didn't know they had like rough parts.
Yeah, every place has
like rough. But you don't, when you think of Iowa, you think of Benny, you just think of like cornfields and silos. I didn't think they'd have like some rough ass area.
It's America. Yeah, every place you go in the world has a rough area.
I understand that now, but I was ignorant to the quad city lifestyle.
All right.
Well, I wasn't a quad wad like yourself.
Well, listen, if your answer is Texas, make sure you save a little bit of money.
Well, no, we're fine.
Well, you're right. We're outside of New York City. Well, I don't know. You think Texas knows that? We get there. Rochester, give me my New York City tear. Let's take a break.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Super Bowl or bust, baby!
Yeah, let's do it.
That's where we're at as Bills fans, right?
Yeah.
That win Sunday went a long way to making all of us feel a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
And yesterday was the last chance for all NFL teams to add ammunition going into this playoff stretch run.
Ooh, get a little healthy.
Bills have some holes. So they were going to do something to make this roster better, right? Right?
Yes. What did we get?
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So yesterday, the NFL trade deadline officially came and went. And there were some monster deals.
Saw some big names out there, buddy.
The Jets traded 2-time All-Pro defensive back Sauce Gardner to the Colts for 2 first-round picks.
Wow. Damn.
Huge deal. The Jets traded their defensive tackle Pro Bowler Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys for another first-round pick and a second-round pick. The Jets now have 2 first-round picks in the next 2 drafts.
Mm.
Couple of wide receivers change hands. Bills were in the market for one of them.
Yeah.
Couple of safeties and D-tackles change hands. Bills could have been in the market for one of them. And I bet most of you Bills fans are wondering what Brandon Bean, general manager, did to get this team in top form.
He's got the strategy, man.
He's
the man.
And he has moved on the trade deadline in years past. Yeah.
Well, and there was all that talk about restructuring deals, making some more money, making some more room for to add to the total.
We'll get to that.
That's not what I meant, but you know what I mean.
Yesterday, Bills general manager Brandon Bean did nothing.
You got to be kidding.
He did
crickets.
Nothing. Why? Was there nothing out there?
I don't know, because like there was all this speculation from those insiders, like the Bills are coming close to a deal with fill in the blank team.
We're
with this
always
big
connected
name
to everybody. And, yes. Okay. Yeah. Everybody.
So nothing.
The Bills sat on their hands and they are going to hold with the cards that they have for the rest of the
all
season.
All right.
You guys cool with that idea?
Well, no. You're saying they're banged up and some of these guys aren't working out.
Well, when did I say that? You're saying that and I talk to you and then you think I say it.
Ton of injuries. A lot of guys banged up. Some guys ain't coming back for the season.
Mm. Yes, you're right. Ed Oliver is done until at least the Super Bowl.
I think there's 2 guys that are
Michael
out.
Hoyt, the guy who just came back from the suspension.
He's out, right?
He just blew his Achilles. He's out for the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's 2 right there.
Yeah, but I mean,
you got a wide receiver that you drafted is not doing it.
Okay, but you're not going to go find like a number one wide receiver.
How about one that just does his job?
Okay. Oh, Kimmy, you should call Brandon Bean. Hey, man, how about
a
wide receiver?
Somebody that works hard.
So there's a couple of reasons why this could have happened, why the Bills didn't do anything.
Lazy.
One is money. And Danger brought this up when he was on the show with us on Friday.
What do you say?
Going into yesterday morning, the Bills had 0 cap space, zero. They had no money to spend. During the day, they restructured the deal of nickel corner Taron Johnson. So they gave them, $3.5 million to spend this year?
Something like that, yeah.
But that probably wasn't going to be enough to get what they thought.
Well, you would have to go to the big salaries like Josh and see if he would.
But he's already
restructured. Oh, no, it's not about asking them to take less money. When you restructure, you sign them for longer and spread the money
out.
So I'm
saying, so you loosen up a little coin.
But you can't do that. He's already signed for like the next 7 years. You're going to end up with 72-year-old Josh Allen. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if they wanted to make a move, they probably would have had to restructure different money.
So they ain't got no money.
Yeah.
All right.
The other reason this may have happened is how well things went on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. It was kind of a blessing and a curse, I guess, to beat the Chiefs. If they really needed to make a move, well, that probably put the brakes on that.
They didn't just beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They deconstructed the Chiefs on both sides of the ball. And I know it was an 8-point game, and there was a play at the end where the Chiefs could have tied it up. But when you look at the box score, when you go back and watch the actual game, there were two or three plays the Chiefs made that kept them in that game. The Bills dominated. They dominated the Kansas City Chiefs. Offensively, the Chiefs could not stop them. Defensively, the Bills just battered Patrick Mahomes. Again, the lowest completion percentage of his career. He had no touchdowns, rushings, or through the air. Meanwhile, Josh only missed on three passes all day long.
All right.
You had a James Cook go over 100 yards again. It was glorious.
But that all looks great, but...
But what?
Let's say the Eagles show up and you suck.
You lose that game.
I know, but now people are going to start screaming, look at this, look at that.
Okay, so
holes over here, you couldn't stop this guy.
They're doing it in like a rap and a rhyme like that. Holes over here, you couldn't stop this guy. Holes over here, you couldn't stop this guy. You're not worried about divisional and playoffs. Can you beat the teams that will get you to the Super Bowl? Yeah, and like, I mean, the Eagles you don't have to worry about if they make it to the Super Bowl.
All right.
Look, what happened on Sunday may have been enough for this Bills coaching staff and front office to think this team is rounding into form at the right time.
Okay.
And they don't need outside help. Now, keep in mind, you did what you did to the Chiefs. You were missing a ton of big pieces. You brought it up. Ed Oliver was out. Wide receiver Josh Palmer was out. Nickel corner, who we just brought up, Taron Johnson, he missed that game. Jordan Poyer was your starting safety. So, in theory, yes, you're missing two guys for the rest of the season. You are getting Josh Palmer back. You're getting Taron Johnson back. Other guys are going to get healthier thing moves forward. So maybe you look at those guys, Kimmy, as your deadline deal acquisitions. Maxwell Harrison looks the corner. Rookie looks like he could be something here.
So what's our next big test? Because it isn't the Dolphins.
I mean, Tampa Bay's first in their division. That's in two weeks. Baker Mayfield, you love him.
I think every game's going to be a test. No, I don't see them like blowing people out at this point, just based on what they've done so far this season.
Well, I just thought the Dolphins were pretty...
The Dolphins are really bad, but it's a divisional game.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you got the Eagles.
The Dolphins.
You got the Eagles coming up. They're. I mean, but that's at the end of the season.
Don't we have Denver too?
You got no. Yes. We don't play. Wait, we do.
I'm pretty sure.
I think we play Denver.
Let me pull up the schedule here. I may be an idiot. No, we don't play Denver.
No.
Stupid. I got it right here.
Oh yeah.
Your next big test. If you all right, do you think the Steelers are good?
Well, they're winning.
Okay, so there's the next big
Houston.
Houston, but they're in third place in their division. I think you can argue, if you want to talk about big, like...
So you,
like,
think it's the Steelers?
No, season-changing test, I would argue, is the New England Patriots. In New England.
Because you need that
one. December 14th. Yeah. Unless,
they're good.
Unless you keep winning and the Patriots, you know, lose a couple of games, you got to have that game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, your schedule goes Miami, Tampa Bay, Houston, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, New England, Cleveland, Philly, the Jets.
All right.
So yeah, I would argue it's New England. Now, Kimmy, I saw a ton of Bills fans, again, 252 WCMF, as we talk about the Bills doing nothing at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. They were furious that nothing got done. Are you furious?
I think that's going to happen every year no matter what, just because, again, you get all excited based on things that, like, experts say and insiders are saying and what the possibilities for the Bills and the fact that in the past Brandon Bean has made big moves before the trade deadline. So maybe it's kind of like what we got used to, and then when it doesn't happen, it's an automatic disappointment.
But I think maybe you could also make the argument that what happened at the trade deadline last year went so poorly.
What happened last year?
So the Bills made their biggest swing of the McBean era at the deadline, trading a third-round pick for wide receiver Amari Cooper.
Cleveland, right?
Yep. And he was hurt for half his time here. And then when he was healthy, he was good for a play or two a game, but nothing what the team needed from him. And that cost you a third-round pick that could be a contributing wide receiver right now, that could be a starting safety that isn't Jordan Poyer, that could be a starting pass rusher, which you would
desperately have. All right, so maybe he got burned and now he's backing off.
It's possible. Look, I'm always a guy who's pro draft pick, not pro deadline.
I mean,
I'm fine with it yesterday.
I think if you didn't obviously have those back-to-back losses with Atlanta and the Patriots, I don't think you'd have the same type of disappointment.
Hell, all you had to do was not give that game to New England.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I think you would have accepted.
Everybody would be like, yep,
you would
we're
have
good.
Accepted one of those losses as a, you know, the Bills just weren't themselves that game. I think the back-to-back losses had everybody panicking.
Even though it happens every single year, we do this every single year.
But it like shouldn't.
Okay, but again, I've said this, I've been saying it for weeks, and it was like, and then we beat the Chiefs, and everyone's like, oh, we're pretty good, okay. Happens every year, it turns
out. What are you
going to
do?
Like, I'm fine with it, man. I like all this right. team the way that it is. It was going to take a little time for everybody to come together, like I've been saying.
Okay, but let's get it together.
Look, man, you go
let's
out.
Do it.
You go out and beat Miami on Sunday. You're 7-3. You're 7-3. Okay. Or 7-2, I'm sorry. But even better than 7-3.
Yeah. All right.
Huh?
You think New England is as good as their record?
No, I don't.
You don't like that coach, though.
I don't. But I don't think there is
take
good.
Take that out of it.
Look.
Is the team good? Because you sometimes get blinded with rage.
When am I wrong about this?
You do. Like, you hate somebody, yeah. and then, like, that guy could do nothing. His wife's ugly. His kids are
so
stupid.
Don't have an ugly wife. Don't have an ugly wife. A couple of years ago, the Dolphins beat the Bills in the first of their two matchups, and you guys were convinced the Dolphins were actually good. Mike McDaniel,
well, they
Tua
had,
was
they
playing.
They had good guys
and
on the
you
team.
Guys
they
also,
had some dynamic players
sure,
on
sure,
the team.
Tua
yeah,
was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they eventually fell back to earth because they weren't a battle-tested team.
Okay.
Look, I'm telling you right now, this Patriots team is
it's
going
a
to
fluke.
They're going to face adversity, and they're going to do what young teams do. They're going to buckle. The test
I'm
of this Patriots.
Sure who they have coming up
you
here.
Got Baltimore, and you're going to have Lamar Jackson coming back.
He's on fire.
There's another really good team. Well, he also played the Dolphins last week.
Oh.
The Dolphins traded more people yesterday, too. Like, the Dolphins were bad the first time we played them. Yeah. They're somehow going to be worse.
Oh,
the Patriots got the Bucs next.
And the Broncos, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Okay, why do we think everyone's playing
know.
The Broncos?
I don't know.
We just want to say the Broncos.
Maybe.
But I'm saying, like, the Patriots have a simple three losses on their schedule, and that's before you even get to a game they lose that they shouldn't, which they're going to.
All right.
The test for the Patriots is not this season. The test for the Patriots is when they fall back a little bit this year, what do they do next year to
all
recover?
Right.
And it's the same thing that happened with the Dolphins. I told you all year everything will be okay. You told me I was crazy. I was right. I'm telling you the same thing this year. Why do you guys ever doubt me?
I don't know. Their schedule doesn't look that bad moving forward.
Nostra Duffy.
Okay. They have the Jets twice and
Who's
the Dolphins.
This?
The Patriots.
Patriots.
That's fine. That's four wins. There's nine games left.
And the Giants.
Okay. Are
the
Giants bad?
They don't look all that great.
They don't look all that bad. Jackson Dart, you don't believe in Dart we trust?
Didn't he get hurt?
No, Cam Scadaboo did.
No, didn't he have a concussion? Oh, yeah. No, I thought Jackson Dart had a concussion.
I was throwing up on the way home from the game, so I didn't see anything on Sunday. Doesn't matter. None of this matters. The bottom line is take a deep breath.
All right,
everything is fine. We're good to
go. Nothing to do. Just move forward.
Bingo.
Win the games.